Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And in a moment, we'll be talking to a listener from Vancouver, Canada, so that we could be comforted here in the U.S. that the insanity here is not only in America. When we saw some of the news coming out of Canada, one of our listeners sent us a message and said, we got to build a fence to the north now, not only with Mexico. And I replied and said, well, is that to keep our crud out of Canada or Canada's crud out of America? Because it's everywhere, of course. The morality of our country and much of the world is in a free fall. But before we get to that, we've arranged for a caller from Canada to be on the show today. But before we get to that, a couple little audio bits. We're coming up on the anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. That'll be in just a few days. We have that audio of, if you recall, 4 years ago. It was just every network, wherever you turned, you had the newscasters saying that we just killed Obama. And Obama is dead. And it was just the weirdest thing. I mean, it was everywhere. So we have a little, we have that, a montage of that. All right, let's hear this.
President Obama speaking from the East Room of the White House, telling the nation and the world President Obama is in fact dead. It was a U.S.-led strategic, Osama bin Laden is dead.
Osama is dead.
Obama is dead.
Details that have never before been heard about how Obama was killed. It started when Obama took office. He directed the head of the CIA to make killing Obama their number one priority. They got a possible lead on where Obama might be hiding.
After decades of searching and a worldwide manhunt, federal agents discovered Obama's secret location.
American operatives had learned Obama that bin Laden was hiding out.
Osama was hiding out.
The intelligence said Obama was hiding in a compound deep inside Pakistan.
Now, Fox, we understand our sister station are saying that Osama was buried at sea at 2 a.m. That would be 7 in the morning in the U.K. that Osama was buried at sea.
Obama's dead. I don't care. What did I say? Osama bin Laden is dead. I don't care how he died.
So that's it's just so bizarre. Barack Hussein Obama. And I still don't know if his name is actually Barry. I don't know if you have any inside information on that or which of his Social Security numbers are accurate. But to continue on with the program. So almost 4 years ago now, and on Obama's watch, race relations in America are at a long time low. The Middle East is burning. America is mocked and hated. And the economy is struggling, not going very well. But sadly, the Democrats have a way of pulling out victories because of how broken the Republican Party is. And as Doug McBurney and I pointed out on the show a week ago, it seems that the Republicans have given up on repealing Obamacare. And so how we have defined a conservative on this show, Bob Benyart Live, for many years now, is going to be true regarding Obamacare also. A conservative is a Republican trying to save a social program started by a liberal. So a conservative is a Republican trying to save a social program started by a liberal, and that's what they've been reduced to. That's about it. So conservatism doesn't mean anything more than that. But now before we go to, we're going to get our Vancouver listener on the line. But before we go to our listener, we have one more little bit of audio. Little bit of audio from Fox News yesterday. Now, you've heard about the mom in Baltimore who was whooping up on her son. I don't know if, did she see her son riding on TV? That's what happened. Toya Graham. And she rushed down to her local riot venue and she grabbed her son by the ear and just started whooping up on him. And what was interesting is that she is considered a hero, hero mom by conservatives, by liberals, by Dr. Phil on Fox News, Alan Combs. I mean, across the political spectrum, they're saying she's a hero, and good for her for doing that. But we have been saying on Bob and Yurt Live for 24 years, when the topic comes up about spanking, that spanking could save the life of a child. And here, this mom, it wasn't exactly a spanking. It was a whooping. But she did a great job. And so we got a little bit of audio. It's not real clear to hear. It was recorded off of a TV. But I want you to hear this, just about a minute from Fox News, Dr. Phil and the Fox host talking about this hero mom, Toya Graham.
You asked earlier where the parents are. We've got, I want you to watch right now. Okay, let's take a look at this. That reportedly is a mother who looked out and saw her son was about to vandalize or do something bad, and she took him home.
Look, you always say never say never. I would have said I would never say that I would endorse a parent striking their child on or about the head and say that that's good parenting.
But I gotta say,
I'm tipping my hat to this mother that gets off her butt and gets out there on the street, finds her kid, and gets his attention and drags his butt home. I am tipping
because
my hat to that
woman.
Because on a
regular day, somebody would accuse that mother of child abuse.
Exactly.
Could you go as far as saying this mother is saving her child's life in this moment, if indeed that is her son?
She could very well be doing so. She could be very well giving that child his life back.
For 24 years on Bob and Yurt Live, we have said that spanking could save the life of a child, literally, and thousands of children. If that mom had spanked her son, not a whooping, hitting him upside the head like we teach at Bob and Yurt Live, that's when things are out of control. You're supposed to spank as the Bible teaches us. And because you love your children more than you fear disapproval from neighbors or the government. But we've been saying for years that a spanking could save the life of your child. And now it should be obvious to everyone. If Toya Graham had spanked her son 10 years ago, she may have given him a better life. He might not have been a rioter wannabe. But obviously she would have gone to jail. Or she would have had her children taken away from her if she spanked her son when he needed the spanking 10 years earlier. But now it happens, and the nation, liberals and conservatives, although the liberals will go back on this soon enough, are recognizing that this mom could have just saved her son's life. Now, O'Reilly, if I recall, I was on Bill O'Reilly's show years ago and Sean Hannity's show for spanking one of our kids and got a lot of flack. And if I remember from Sean Hannity, he supported spanking, but only if it didn't hurt. And I told him how wonderful our kids were, and he said, and how they obey and respect. And he said, sure, they must be afraid of you. I said, my kids must be afraid of you. I was at home at the time. And so I called down. I said, Michael, would you come up here and talk to Sean Hannity? And said, no, it wasn't Michael. It was Nathaniel, right? Nathaniel, would you come up here and talk to Sean Hannity? He thinks you guys are afraid of your parents. So my son Nathaniel gets on the phone. I hand him the phone, and he talks to Sean Hannity for 3-4 minutes. Let's now, oh, and by the way, thousands of families have had their kids taken away from them for spanking. And there's been a spanking jihad against our children, and the schools tell our kids they're animals, and they have a godless curriculum, and the parents are intimidated not to spank, we've lost another generation of kids, many of whom behave like animals. Okay, let's go. Now let's go to our listener, friend of Bob and Yurt Live in Vancouver, British Columbia. Brad, welcome to the show. How are you, Brad?
Hey, Bob. I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good. Well, thank you for calling in. You sent an email, and you had a handful of topics that a lot of horrific things going on in Canada. But so what do you want to cover?
Well, you know, I'll give you a couple of little background points here first. I have a men's group that I belong to, and we meet once a week, and we talk about all kinds of topics, every single thing you can imagine, like science topics and apologetic things, biblical things. And
all right. Hey, Brad, let me ask you, are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, I am. Do you want me to get off?
If you could, yeah.
Okay, just give me 1 second.
Sure thing. No problem. Used to be if you wanted to talk to somebody in Canada, it would take you 3 weeks.
Yeah. How's that?
All right, better. Thank you, Brad.
Is that better? Sorry, I am on my cell phone. I know that's not always the best. I was sort of in between meetings here. So
sure.
Yeah, so this men's group that I belong to, it's been kind of interesting because, you know, I have a bunch of friends and we all would get together and talk about different things. And so we started a group where we get together every week, but we also have a Facebook group. And, you know, of course, on Facebook, everybody's posting different things all the time, and certain topics come up that you maybe wouldn't have heard about before. But what we've found is this is a private group that we're in, so we can post whatever we like and share links and different topics. And it's amazing how many things now we're starting to see that are happening, you know, in our backyard. I have a friend who has his kids in the public school in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And he's posting these pictures that he's taking of posters in the school, in the elementary school, on the walls, like really promoting sexuality-based things, like, you know, talking about homosexuality and, you know, transgender questions and all kinds of things that just seem so incredibly inappropriate that it's kind of shocking us. And now a few of these other articles have come up where we've started to see these people now who are either teachers or they're part of the government system in Canada, where they're part of the education system and everything.
Yeah, Brad, so I'm looking at the photos that one of the guys in your Facebook group posted, and it's just photographs from inside the local Vancouver public school. And, for example, a young girl saying, "I love my two dads." And here's a young boy. He must be like, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. "I love my two moms."
Right.
And they got their LGBTQ, LGPMRS lesson plans.
Yeah.
Too many initials.
Yeah.
And so they post their homosexual lesson plans, their VSB transgender policy, of course, rainbow flags everywhere, allow transgender students to use the washroom of their choice. So if a boy wants to go in the girls' locker rooms, I guess he just says he's a girl.
Well, exactly. And here's an interesting thing. I had a discussion with somebody. This came into the news and it was featured on one of our local television stations a while ago. And I was like, what is going on here? Because I know that in some of the universities, they have kind of like gender neutral washrooms throughout. It's not even so much like you have a choice in some of them. It's sort of just walk into whatever one you want.
Oh yeah.
And of course, those are universities too. But they had started promoting this.
But
locally,
Brad,
in the school.
It's despicable. It's despicable for a woman to have to be in a public restroom and a guy come in there while she's in there.
Well, of course, right?
Yes.
And I have two daughters, so I have younger daughters. And I posted a question onto the Global News Facebook page, and I said, this is crazy. I said, I have two daughters. I can't imagine them being in high school and being 14 or 15 years old, walking into the washroom to do whatever, you know, thing they may have to do as girls. And then having three 18-year-old grade 12 boys follow them in and snicker and make comments in the washroom with them.
Of course.
And here's the kicker. I had two people respond to my post and condemn my post and say the only reason that I could think of something so sick was because I was a pervert.
Right. Right.
Hey, now, that's their answer to it. Is that Brad, because I'm coming against it.
Welcome to our world.
Right. I know, right?
It's insane. The Bible says they will call good evil and evil good, and the slightest statement of morality like that,
yeah,
God made us male and female, means that you are a hater. That is hate speech. That a child is better off with a mom and a dad, you are a hater.
Yeah, and they don't even want to look at the stats that are proving otherwise.
No, right.
That, you know, if you have same-sex parents, the problems in life just multiply beyond belief, and they don't even want to address that. And I'm like, well, how are you caring about a kid if you're not even looking at the statistics for why this child's life is going to turn out bad?
Yeah. Hey, Brad.
It's crazy.
My name's not on it, but I helped to file an amicus brief with the U.S. Supreme Court. They heard yesterday their homosexual marriage case, so we should hear their opinion in June. But in our brief that we filed, we had Oxford study of homosexual marriage in the Netherlands, and we got a PhD statistician to evaluate and report the results. And it is horrific what's happened in the Netherlands, and it's coming here. And I performed a wedding for a young gal who grew up in the Netherlands. She married my nephew, Brian Enyart, Jr.
Okay.
And she said her wedding was the first wedding she had ever seen. She had never attended a wedding. Nobody she knew ever got married, because in the Netherlands, nobody gets married except homosexuals.
No one cares. Right.
Because marriage is nothing anymore. And people shacking up together, nobody cares about that. You go to church, you could be a member in good standing and be shacking up. You could be a homosexual. Increasingly, churches are accepting homosexuals. And so it's not only the government, it's not only the media, it's also the church. We're in the midst of the year that the church goes gay. And so, sadly, the warnings that we have aired on Bob and Yurt Live for 24 years, those warnings, those chickens are all coming home to roost.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's another thing for you, a bit of a bomb that dropped locally in Canada, too, or in Ontario. There's a fellow by the name of Benjamin Levin, mm-hmm, who was the deputy education minister. He was charged with possession of child pornography. He was also the investigators had found, got him on a chat room where he was talking about sexual abuse and incest and all kinds of horrible, horrible things, like promoting it, sending pictures of, you know, people that were terrible. And this guy had his hands in the curriculum that was being developed in the Ontario school system.
Yeah.
He also was part of Manitoba.
Brad, I looked at the links you sent when you said you'd love to come on the show. We're so thrilled you have. So this guy, Benjamin Levin, was the deputy education minister in Ontario and Manitoba. And
yeah,
he has now pleaded guilty to three counts of child pornography related charges. He's a pervert, and he had a significant say in the education of the kids there.
Exactly.
And
now
so,
we're surprised why we're getting all of this crazy stuff that's being promoted on the walls in our schools.
Oh, it's been right. This stuff has been happening, though, for many years. And, you know, Focus on the Family, we pleaded with them for years to warn parents to get their kids out of the government schools, public schools. They refused. At one point, California schools started doing something that was really typical, but when you look at it, it was utterly wicked and inane. And Dr. Dobson went on the air and he said, well, we've resisted, but now we're going to urge families in California to take their kids out of the public schools. And we thought, California, that's great. Welcome to reality. But how about the rest of the nation?
Yeah, right.
Because this is all happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And your school, your school is the worst. People think, well, it's not at my school.
Right.
But your school is the worst because your school is where your kids are.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and here's the kicker for me. My kids are getting a bit older now, and up until the point where I started listening to your show about a year ago or a little more than a year ago, I hadn't really given that much thought to, you know, the differences of public school. And we have, you know, in some areas we have private schools and Christian schools and things like that as well. And some of my friends have their kids in there, and some of my friends homeschool their kids too. And I thought, oh, well, isn't that great? You know, it's nice of them, but you know, we're busy and we're doing this and that. And I've got my job and my wife's got her job and we're busy. So, well, we'll put our kids in the public school and that's where we went and everything else. But now, you know, I almost feel like I've been betraying my kids, you know, because even the other day, my daughter comes home from school and she says, oh, we have to watch the thing on TV. Bruce Jenner's going to be talking about being transgender.
Oh, brother.
And I look at my daughter and I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, what? And I said, where'd you hear about that? And she goes, oh, all the kids at school are going to watch it tonight.
Sure, right.
And
so
like,
when we,
what?
So when we Christian parents, we send our kids to the public school and we think we can offset whatever harm they hear about, they pick up, but they're also developing relationships, friendships,
right,
with people who their worldview will destroy our kids if those relationships end up prevailing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's bizarre because so often we you know, as parents, I think sometimes we live in a bit of a bubble because we assume that things that happen to us as kids at school are the same as when we were kids. It's the same now, but
right,
it's not.
It's not.
You know, this isn't the 50s anymore or the 60s anymore. You know,
right,
everything has changed, and it's like there's a lesson being planned for our children so that they can think about this stuff before they're even out of, you know, elementary
school. Well, Brad, how about your one teacher? This is one of the links you sent to us. One teacher went to the principal. She's a lesbian. And she said to the principal, I'd like to go into every class and teach the kids about homosexual marriage. And the principal
right,
was thrilled.
Yeah.
So that's going on. Then you have a Canadian homosexual activist, S. Bear Bergman, who just wrote a piece in the Huffington Post saying, I'm coming out of the closet. I've been lying. Of course, we've been trying to indoctrinate your children into supporting homosexuality, because he publishes, he runs a publishing company making books for kids about homosexuality. And on Bob and Yurt Live, we've talked about these books published by Allison Press out of Boston for 20 years ago. Gloria Goes to Gay Pride, Daddy's Roommate, and these were textbooks for kindergarten and first grade kids. And the same publisher published a book called Pedophilia, The Radical Case, a book arguing that it should be legal for adult men to have sex with children.
Yeah.
Of any age, young children.
Well, and and also something you may have not seen in that article, but S. Bear Bergman is actually a transgender man. So it's actually a woman that is now living as a transgender man.
And this S. Bear, whatever, has a partner who is the gender equity advisor at the Toronto District School Board.
There you go.
Isn't it great? They have a gender equity advisor.
Yeah, what a shock, right? And here we go. We've got a master agenda under the umbrella of you better not be homophobic or else, you know, the news is going to be showing up at your front door.
And, hey, Brad, the lesbians and the feminists have complained for years here in the U.S. that boys do better than girls in math and science?
Yeah.
Well, how about every other topic? Why is it okay for the girls to do better than the boys in everything else?
Right.
I mean, and there is a difference between boys and girls, although they deny that. They think that homosexuals are born that way, but boys and girls are nurture. Yeah, you got to be a lunatic, be a liberal. You've got to be a lunatic.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where at times I have had some friends that are liberals or, you know, left wing kind of thinkers that I've brought up some things that I almost think at times that they may be pausing at times going, what?
Right.
You know, it's like it's getting pushed to a point now where we're becoming quite shocked, I think, that the agenda is being pushed in our face so heavy.
Yeah, but you know what? It has a life of its own, and it's a juggernaut. The Lord will return eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually, and we have the victory for everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. We have salvation. We're saved. And we have the opportunity to bring others to the Lord by sharing the gospel, Christ's death and resurrection for us. But short of the Lord's return, the future looks bleak. It doesn't look like, hey, we're going to turn the corner here. We don't even have Christian leaders who know right from wrong. In the Bible, all they could handle was the meek. All they could handle was the milk. Today, our Christian leaders are lactose intolerant. They can't even handle the milk. Forget about the meat. They can't even handle the milk.
Well, ironically that you bring that up, I just went for lunch with a pastor today, and a fantastic guy, and he was asking me about church and everything else. And I said, well, you know, the biggest challenge that I have these days with a lot of the local churches here is that every time I go to one of the services, they're serving the same glass of milk with a different sort of cup.
Hmm.
And I'm like, does no one ever eat solid food? You know, does no one at church serve deep thinking, heavy, you know, important topics that we really need to work on, whether it's topics like this.
And I Brad, mean, we have 15 seconds left. You want to say a final thought?
Well, I just, you know, I appreciate your show so much, and I wanted to quickly say tonight I'm meeting with my men's group, and we're going to be doing the plot series.
Whoa! That's
we're
new.
We're going to be working through that, and it's been incredible. Some of the guys have been jumping into it a little bit.
Yeah.
And they have been just really, really blown away by some of the teaching and starting to think, wow, hey, this stuff is different thinking that I never thought of before, and getting answers for tough questions. So we're totally excited to get into that tonight. So
I'm just thrilled. I hope to hear how that goes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you. Brad from Vancouver, another member of the brightest audience in the country. Hey, say in the country. We're going to have to talk about in the continent, in the hemisphere. You think we can go beyond the hemisphere, brightest audience on the globe? I'll have to think about that. But we are online. God bless.